Thank y'all so much. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for today. We thank you for what you've given us and how you've blessed us and how you act and work in everyday ways each and every day. Father, I just ask that as we've come and we've offered you the affection of our hearts through our songs, through our prayers, that now as we open your word that you would speak to us and that, Father, we would recognize your greatest gift of love and that we would give ourselves to you in return. Father, we love you and we thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, this morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. If you want to take a look there in your Bibles, we'll have the words on the screen as well. This year throughout Advent, the last couple of weeks leading into Christmas, we focused on how Advent, on how Christmas is all about Jesus. Right? This is such a different year. There's so many things that have changed and it's out of the ordinary. It's different. But the one thing that I've wanted to do that we've really tried to do over the last couple of weeks is redirect our focus with absolute intensity that it is simply Jesus. That is what matters most. That is what matters above all, right? Yeah. So it may be different. You may not have the whole family there. You may not Aunt Edna may not bring the fruitcake. You may be disappointed in that. I don't know. But whatever it is, what Christmas looks like, the thing that we hang on to, despite all the differences, is Christ. And we've taken a look. We've seen how Jesus is our hope, how he's our peace, how he's our joy. But this morning, very quickly, I want to take a moment and I want to point out, I'm not going to talk about how Jesus is just our love. I intend you to show how Jesus truly is love. How Jesus really is the fullest expression of the Father's love we could ever hope to receive. And because everything about him, from his coming to what he taught, how he lived and died and lives again, how everything about Jesus is about the Father trying to show us just how much he loves us. And so we turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, where Paul writes and he says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." If it sounds like Paul's repeating himself, there's a good reason for that. Because we're slow a lot of times and we don't pick up as quick as we should, right? First thing I want us to see this morning, none of this was an accident. Jesus coming, the birth in the stable, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, every last bit of it, none of this was an accident. Try telling that to Mary. Having to lay her firstborn, her baby, on clean straw. None of this was an accident. God was intentional when he initiated the plan of salvation. I want you to hear that today. When we come and as we celebrate this Christmas, as we prepare for it, as we celebrate today, as we come together, or you come together on Christmas morning, my prayer is that we would remember that God was intentional when he initiated the plan of salvation. As Paul says in verse 6, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Whether we knew it or not, all of history had been building to this moment. The philosopher Alfred North Whitehead once said that all of Western philosophy consists of a series of footnotes to Plato. Plato, not Plato. In Texan, it sounds the same. But in an exponentially superior way, all of history has been building to Jesus' birth. And since then, all of history has been a reflection and a reaction and a response to his life, his death, and his resurrection. This was no accident. Tonight, we're going to take a little bit deeper look into what that means, what that looks like. I hope you'll join us on Zoom. You'll find the link on the Facebook page here in about 20 minutes. I hope you'll join because what I want us to see is more than just an intellectual exercise, but to see that God planned it for this moment. And even though things in life may not make sense to us, that doesn't mean that God is not still securely in control. But as we take a look at this, while it might seem ridiculous to think that the Lord of the universe being born in a stable in some backwater hick town, while that sounds ridiculous and preposterous, this was God's plan to save the world. At just the right time, at the appointed season, when the Father felt it was time. This Christmas, this morning, I want you to know that no bit of this was an accident. It was all intentional. And I want you to make no mistake, the Father loved first. Among Star Wars fans, one of the great quarrels among Star Wars fans was, did Han shoot first? In episode 4, they've gone back and George Lucas tried to retouch it. For those of you who are not Star Wars geeks, I apologize. We'll get back to scripture. But Star Wars fans will go back, because in the original movie, Han shot first. And that tells us something about his character. He's not the guy in the white hat. He's the one doing dirty deeds done dirt cheap. There we go. All right. I want you to make no mistake. When we talk about Scripture, God loved first. The Father loved first. As Paul says in verse 6, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I want everyone to wake up for just a moment. I'll let you go back to sleep in a minute, but I want you to wake up for just a moment, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say, because this is a radical departure from the religion that our world expects. Jesus came for powerless people. Jesus came for the ungodly. He came for the unholy. He came for the filthy. He came for those who were broken, not just bruised. Jesus came for powerless people. And I don't just mean this powerless in a purely social or ethical or justice terms, although there is an aspect of that in this. What I mean is that Jesus came for those who were, to quote David Brown, he came for those who were powerless to deliver themselves and so were ready to perish. Jesus didn't come for the healthy. He kicked in the doors of the ICU and he went to those who were most desperate. As the doctor was fixing to pull the plug, he said, I came for that one. Because that's where we were. While we were still powerless, while we were still sinking in our sin, while there was nothing about us, we did not bring anything to the table with God. God reached down when we were helplessly stuck in our sin and absolutely powerless to change our situation. He reached in and he rescued us. No, I'm not jumping off into the determinism of Calvinism. But recognizing that we respond to God's grace and forgiveness doesn't change the fact that God loved us first. Do we have to respond to that? Yes. Do we have a responsibility to follow him in faith? Yes. But none of that changes the fact that the Father loved us first. And until we get that in our heads, until we recognize that he didn't come for the lovely people or the religious people or the good people or the healthy people, but he came for those who were sick. He came for those of us who were dying. He came for those of us when we were at our worst, and he died for us. Amen. Until we recognize that, we'll never understand the gospel, because we're stuck in religion. What we can do to earn God's affection. To use deeply theological terms, we can't do a doggone thing to make him love us first. He chose to. So when we talk about Jesus is love, we recognize that God took the first step. Not only did he prepare the world, but he sent his one and only son to be a helpless infant at the mercy of a rebellious world. the Father loved first. What I want to finish up with is one final thing we see in verse 8, and that's that Jesus did what we wouldn't dare. He sacrificed himself for sinners. In verse 8, we're told, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's take a moment, very quick moment, and break this verse down. God demonstrates. It's that the Father doesn't just tell us of his love. He shows us his love by doing whatever is necessary to make redemption possible. He doesn't take salvation completely out of our hands, but he offers it and lays it before us that we might choose, that we might accept, that we might step forward. But he not only acts first, but he lays it out. When we talk about seeing love, there is no doubt what God means. There is no wondering or hesitation because he's laid it all out before us. Whether we accept it, whether we reject it, God's love is still there, demonstrated to all. The phrase, still sinners. This isn't a matter of making a few poor decisions. And it's certainly no accident. Sin is much more deliberate than that. Matthew Henry describes this term sinners as not just useless, but guilty and hateful. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still useless, while we were still guilty, while we were still hateful to God, Christ died for us. Let's not miss the other point. God's Son did not just die for sinners. He died for sinners who were still sinning. I pick on toddlers. Well, I got it. Let me. Verbally, I use toddlers as an illustration. I need to rephrase how I say things sometimes. Telling people on camera, I pick on toddlers, doesn't always come across right. Right? Y'all laugh because y'all aren't surprised. But stuff like that wins you Father of the Year points, just saying. But toddlers are a great example of who humanity really is, right? Because we haven't civilized them yet. And yes, they may come up and hug your neck and love you, oh, and they make you feel so good. But they're doing that to stay safe because they just bit their brother, right? They didn't bite them, their teeth fell on them, okay? I mean, it's just kind of how that works. When God showed his love, it wasn't for the sweet child that was behaving and doing what they were asked, minding their manners and helping mom with chores. It was for a defiant 3-year-old with fist clenched and chin stuck out screaming, "No! I'll do it my way." Why do I use toddlers as an example? Because they're cuter than we are when we do that. We're no different. When Christ died for us, we weren't helping sweet old ladies across the street. We weren't in church. We weren't praying. When Christ died for us, we were sinners who were still sinning. We were still in the middle of our rebellion. And it's at this moment when we were willfully shaking a defiant fist at God that Christ climbed up on the cross and he died for you and for me. You see, God's great plan was to send his only Son to pay the penalty for a rebellious creation and to die in our place so that we could have a chance to come back to him. When we talk about Christmas, you may be thinking, this is not a very Christmas verse. Yes, it is. There's plenty of verses that describe the nativity, whether it's angels speaking to shepherds or Mary with her great statement of faith to the angel, may it be as the Lord, may it be as you have said, I'm the Lord's servant. Maybe it's Simeon rejoicing in the temple because Messiah has come. But when we talk about the baby in the manger, we're talking about God demonstrating his love to such a degree that he sent his one and only son to die for you and me when we weren't worth it. So I hope you'll see love when you look at the nativity scene at home. And I hope you'll be reminded that this was no accident. This was always the Father's plan. But this Christmas, I want to ask you, will we remember the cross? Because that's why he came. See, without the cross, the manger doesn't mean much. If he didn't die for us, if he didn't rise again, then he's just there telling us how we ought to do better. But he hasn't done what's necessary that we could do better. Will we remember the cross? Here in just a moment, I'm going to pray and Jeff's going to come. We're going to have an invitation. I want to invite you. If you've never accepted Christ in your life, but maybe for the first time, maybe you've heard it before, maybe this is the first time, but maybe this is the first time it's clicked that God loves you more than you could ever understand. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that in faith. I want to give you an opportunity to come forward and say, God, you love me and I thank you and I want to give myself to you. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your grace. I accept your love. I accept your mercy. And Father, I give you the one thing I have to give, and that's my life. I choose to serve you from now on. If that's you, while we sing, I encourage you to come forward, and I'll share how you can do that. Not because it's nearly noon, not because it's Sunday, but because God has done a great work through his Son, and salvation is available. And I want to remind us that if Christ loved us this much to die in our place while we were still sinners, why would he abandon us after we have trusted him and followed him? Amen. What he desires is not a one-time decision, but a one-time decision that's a lifetime commitment to follow him forever. If you find yourself this morning, you know you've given your life to him, you know you're saved, but you've not been following him. Why not make a change? Why not give your life back to Christ and follow him? He wants us to trust him enough to follow wherever he leads. My prayer is that you would do that for the first time, for the first time in a while, for the first time today. That we would step into this week of Christmas and we would do so praising God with every aspect of our lives. Because we understand that Jesus is the fullest expression of the Father's love we could ever hope to receive. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we love you and we thank you and we need you. And we thank you so much for your gift of mercy and of love. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, how he came and he lived and he died and he rose again. And he did that for us. Lord, we didn't deserve it. We hadn't done anything to make ourselves worthy. But this was your plan because you've loved us all along. Not because we're special, but because you chose to love us. Yeah. Father, we want to return the favor and we want to love you back. Speak to us today. Challenge us and change our hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.